You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Alessandro Barrico's novels, among them Silk, City, and Without Blood, have been bestsellers both in Europe and in this country. Now he's taken on a literary project of another kind, a prose version of Homer's epic poem, The Iliad. He's called it An Iliad. It's published by Knopf, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Signor Barrico to my show today. Hello.
Hi.
In an afterword, you write, "This is not an ordinary time in which to read the Iliad." Do you feel it's especially timely today?
Today and 2 years ago when I start to make this work, because it was the time of war in Iraq. I was making this work in Italy. Italy has been involved in this war, and in a particular way that not everybody in Italy loved it, if you want. And so it was something we were thinking about a lot in Italy, and of course here. And in this time, I was there at my table with my computer, and I was writing again a story of war, and this a story of a civilization of war. And so every line for me was so important.
But another Greek masterpiece, Aristophanes' Lysistrata, is an anti-war play, and it gets produced whenever there's a war. But the Iliad has generally been seen as a glorification of war. Do you think it can also be read as an examination of why we go to war?
It's a good chance for us to understand deeply the civilization of war. And if you want, it's the word from what we come. In the time of Iliad, the humanity, the man, have just one chance to be something more than animals. And this chance was to live and to die like heroes. It was the only. And so the war was really the most hard and intensive and rich moment in your life. All the rest was just... Oof. So we come from there, and we have to go out from there.
But there's a big difference. The leaders and their sons actually fought in these wars. They fought hand-to-hand combat with spears and swords. And now the leaders of the world sit in Rome or in Washington or in Moscow, whatever, and send other people to do the fighting. In fact, the last American president to be elected because of his leadership in war was Eisenhower, and that was 1952.
Yeah, if you want, you can find something like this in the culture of Greeks in Iliad. Because, in fact, in different pages of this Iliad, you can find the young people who try to stop, who try to late. And the old people who decide what it's happening, and of course you can find exactly a dramatic discussion between them, but there is something like that. Yeah.
Well, the Iliad, of course, was a poem, and it wasn't written down for a long time afterwards. So there are probably many versions. You've called your version of the Iliad and Iliad. So you're saying, in a way, this is just one version of the Iliad?
Of course. The Iliad is the Iliad by Homer, of course. This text was born for a particular possibility, event. I wanted to make a reading in Italy, a long, long, long reading, reading all we can read from Iliad.
So this was a staged reading.
Yeah, absolutely. In a big theater, 2,500 people, and for three nights different, for 4 or 5 hours every night. And with Hector, a lot of music. We had a very, very big screen. On the screen, the audience could see the faces of the actors, very, very big. And so I had to write again this text. That means just to adapt this text for reading, because if not, it's something really of impossible. You should read for 40 years to read every single page of the Iliad.
Well, you say that you felt the text that's come down to us is unreadable.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you're reading it in translation. So
yes,
are the translations unreadable, or are the translations as good as we can do, considering what we have left from Homer's original?
You know, in Italy, I don't know here, but in Italy, the translation of Homer is something of philological, you say? Yes, it's they have much respect for the text. And that seems to lose a little bit the beauty, the rhythm, the style, if you want. And so you have, if you have to read this in front of an audience, you have to bring something else in this text to the audience. And so you have to discover again what there is inside of very hot and strong.
So how closely have you stuck to the original text?
I made many different things. It could be very long to explain everything.
But you took out all the gods. The gods don't appear in this.
Yeah, this is and not good, not good. But it's something that we can do, you know. Of course, it's so important to read the parts about gods in Iliad in order to understand the Greek civilization. That's okay. But if you have just to hear a story, just to receive a story, and you have to choose something and lose something, so you can choose really to erase the part of God. It's possible. It's not so horrible, I swear. You can see so better the line of the story. Yeah.
Well, the people do pray to the gods. The gods just don't appear as they do in the original text. But you've also added things, and you put them in italics. So that we're sure what's yours and what is from Homer. For example, you have Thersites say, "War is an obsession of old men who send the young to fight." I don't think there was anything like that in the original, was there?
No, there is just a 5% of the text that is really invention. It's by me. But in the text, you can find these lines in italics. And so you can recognize, if you want, you can don't read it, okay? But it's not only invention or imagination, modern imagination. There is something that live under the skin of the text, I think so. And so it's just to put on the surface, but it's not something of completely invented.
Well, we all, when we read something, we all have an interaction with it, and we bring thoughts from our own experience to anything, and it often deepens something or it diminishes it if we think the text is stupid. So you've done that to some degree yourself. You've dealt with this text, and then you've added things, including telling each chapter through a different character written in the first person. Now, that's because you were writing it to be for a stage presentation?
This is the first reason. And it's not so much for the audience, but for the actors. The actors, for them, it's easier if they are someone. And the most difficult character for actors is the telling story, the man who tells stories. This is very difficult. But if you are Priamus, who tells a story, this is easier for you. So the first reason, is, if you want, is this for actors. But finally, I was moved, but that little thing in the text by Homer, that in single and precious parts of this text, Homer speak directly to the character and says, "You, Patroclo, you are dying now." That's because he is moved, if you want. And so it's there is something that is good for us, modern audience, something that is more close to us. And so I tried to take this strange part of by Homer, and I structured the text in this way, different monologues.
And you give us, it gives you a chance to imagine the thoughts of these different people. You tell some of the chapters through the female characters, Helen, Andromache, Chryseis. So you have Helen tell the story of the duel between Menelaus and Paris fighting over her. Andromache describes the death of her husband, Hector. That must have been, so you're bringing your strengths as a modern novelist to an ancient story.
I think it's very interesting. For me, it's moving. If you choose the point of view of a girl, for example, because you know the Iliad is a pretty male poem. It's a civilization of the male, and the women has just a little voice, so precious. And if you try to look at the story with the eyes of one girl, of the it's so different. It sounds so different. It's great. And I choose it, for example, a voice of a nurse when there is the meeting, the famous meeting between Hector and Andromache with this child. The child is scared by the helm of the father. And in the text by Homer, there is this nurse. She doesn't speak, but she is there. And so I tried to imagine how she could feel in this moment, this wonderful moment. And so, in fact, in my version, is this nurse who tells this story. And it's completely different.
The English version was translated from your original Italian text by Anne Goldstein, who translated your last two novels. So she's obviously somebody you trust. Do you get to choose the translator?
I work very well with Anne. I started with a book that is very precious for me, that is Sidi, that was really difficult to be translated. And now it's very good with her. And so I thought it was good to go with her in this strange adventure, because, you know, I worked with a translation from Greek by an Italian academic lady, very, very funny. I met her, it's very funny. And then in every country in the world, they translate my Italian with adaptation of a translation in Italian from Greek. So it's a long story, it's a challenge, it's an adventure. I think that really Jorge Luis Borges would love this kind of challenge.
Translation, and you knew the translator, and then you know the other translator as well. Mm. One of your earlier novels, Silk, was adapted into a play by Mary Zimmerman. Now that's going to be, as they say, made into a major motion picture starring Keira Knightley. So that's happening. And then isn't Andre Previn also working on an operatic version of Silk?
Usually I prefer speak about the book with the author of the movie. For many times I spend hours and hours with them, and we speak about soccer and football and politics and also the book.
But when you make it into a movie, for a play and then a movie, you're translating it again beyond language. You're translating it into another form,
another game, if you want.
Yeah, and then an opera does it on another way altogether. I'm assuming nobody's going to do that with an Iliad, but that might be fun.
You could try. I think it would be so difficult.
Meanwhile, do you have any idea when the film will be coming out?
I think in the fall 2007.
Ah.
Yeah.
Alessandro Barrico's An Iliad is published by Knopf. I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you to you.